Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the evolution of our consciousness and where we as a civilization are moving into and how we're changing, how our DNA is changing, how we're actually activating more of our human potential. So as I travel around the world, I meet a lot of like-minded people, and I've come across a good friend now, Anna Hess. I'm sitting here in Oslo, Norway with her, and she is also, I would say, a world traveler investigating these transformations and having them herself. Welcome, Anna, to New
York. Thank you.
So I want to hear first about the big conference that you were at, the Patricia Cota Roybals, and what happened and how there was a sort of a light frequency that was anchored into the planet. Can you talk about that?
Yes, I'd be glad to talk about that because I think it's very important, and I want everybody to know it's done and it's well done. Mm-hmm. The fact is that, hang on a minute.
Sure.
I just have to plug myself in.
Yeah, plug yourself.
The fact is that these special energies that we've heard about that started on the 29th of July and lasted till 25th of August, which is in connection with the Grand Sextile, which was a totally new kind of energies coming in, which upgraded the already beneficial energies of from the heavenly hierarchy or from the universe. So the Company of Heaven, as Patricia Cota Roybals call it, they have asked for enough people who knew they were going to be at this Congress, to sit in meditation and do the invocation. So it's formally anchored and spoken out loud that we accept the higher frequency to come to this planet, which will change the life of every single man, woman, and child on this planet. Somebody will go in front, but eventually everybody will benefit from this.
Well, what does that mean, that every man, woman, child will be changed? In what way will they be?
Yeah, this process started with the Harmonic Convergence in 87.
Right.
The name of this conference was the 27th Congress of Illumination. And the thing is that we living here and the planet herself, we are on the path to a place in time space where the energies are much more loving than it has been. This planet has been a slightly negative planet, and we are now already slightly positive, but we are moving very rapidly into a much more loving, much more truthful state of being for everyone. And that is thanks to the waves of energy coming in.
Does that mean people will be nicer to each other?
Well, what happens is that all of us will activate larger parts of our total being. We have talked about this, Alan. We agree that we are multidimensional beings.
Yes.
But the body we are walking around in, the vessel, so to say, it has had limits. So, for example, the eye can see only 26 movements or pictures per second.
Right.
So if there's something that moves faster than that, the eye cannot see it. The same with the ears. If something is out of our hearing frequency, the limits of the ears, it's still there, but we cannot hear it.
So that's what's happening. We are evolving our brain to see these higher dimensional frequencies and to feel them.
And it is that the incoming light from the central sun, it's filtered through our sun. Mm-hmm. Now, our sun has opened up more because it's it's a protoplasm gateway. And that means the filters that it has been going through has been lifted in a sense. And so the frequency coming through has opened up in both ends, the radio frequency in the radio frequency range and the ultraviolet range. So that made it possible for these new energies to come in. And the fact that these new energies, they carry much more information per unit, which again means that the crystalline structures that these energies will form, they are more intricate. They are not a double tetrahedron, star tetrahedron. They're more like an octahedron or dodecahedron, which... so you can understand everything will be finer. Everything is tuning up.
But how does that affect, you know, we know a lot of people who are totally unaware of these energies. But how will this affect people on the planet?
And it will affect people in every way.
Yeah.
You are working with the energies. If you are tuned into the path, so to say, then you will benefit much more right now. But eventually everybody will benefit. But it's, if you have been living on lies, if you have been an other person outside and oppressed the inner person, then you have to confront the inner person is pressing on, you know. The higher being, the larger being of you is demanding to be seen and heard.
Right.
But if you're not ready for it, the energies will wait for you. It will be there when you are ready. So that goes for everyone. And not only people, also animals and plants and everything here.
But I think what you're also saying is that everything's getting more intense. And unless you deal with the energies, life can be harder.
Well, right now, because of the configuration of the planets in the sky, on this universe and also beyond, it's very intense. So I don't think that will go on forever. But right now, it's an intense time for most people, also for the collective. So that's why you see all the disclosures.
Yeah.
And see, people demand freedom from the oppression that we've had. People are waking up to the fact that, you know, there are oppressions that it's not logical. It's not necessary in any way, and it is painful.
Right, of course. I mean, that's why all this government stuff is coming out. But I'm concerned also with how the society will change. What will our economic systems be more of a global economy? What do you see as far as that practical solutions?
Well, the truth is that... money is not such an old money systems, especially the way it is today. It's not very old. Mm-hmm. And we wouldn't lose much by getting rid of it altogether. And the Company of Heaven, that means included the Pleiadians, the Arcturians, the Andromedans, all of the other beings or other people from other planets and systems, they say the same thing. It's not necessary. But we can have it if we organize it so it creates freedom for everyone. Then it can work well.
But that's a huge overhaul. Everyone, you know, with their money in the bank, I mean, that's probably 100 or 200 years in it as a transformation.
Yes. I'm not sure. I don't know whether if we, the collective, that we feel it's necessary to break down the whole system, or we can come over, say, with a system that could work intermediately. So you can have a phase of a new system with money and then slowly get rid of it altogether. I'm not sure how that's going to go.
Well, I think it might have to do with the...
By pure natural force.
But if we start to have a real free energy system, we could have a free energy economy that will match the free energy system. I think it really hinges on new technologies, right?
No. Well, what it hinges on is our capability to love and to include other people in our world. Mm-hmm. And you must remember this, everything on this planet is created for one purpose only, and that is for our soul to grow.
Right.
So all the DNA material of everything are gifts from all the other civilizations around. And this has been an experiment to duality. And this has been a big project. And we're all in on it. And everybody at some level knew that we at this time would go through a big change.
So this change, and you're saying of course we're in transition. So what do you see the timeline for the change?
I don't know, Alan. I don't know how the collector, how fast it will go. I've heard much will happen within 2017. Uh-huh. But the thing is, this is up to us. So nothing is put in stone in a sense. So I think that disclosure will happen sooner than later, in the sense that people from other worlds, they will come more forward. We see now that the help that's been given to us has reached enormous new heights in every way. Every man and woman can ask for help to help with anything. Mm. So this is all new, and they will get concretely help.
Well, they have to be awakened to the fact that there is help. I mean, this is the struggle I think light workers are in today, is like making people aware that there's more to them. They're more multidimensional than they even realize. And now we have science. There's some great scientists like Dean Radin, like Bruce Lipton. They are showing us that there absolutely is a science to this multidimensionality.
Yeah. So I agree.
So this is, we're in the process of not converting people, but I think awakening them. But we also have to live that truth ourselves. We have to be nicer people. We have to be more loving, because that's really how it's going to affect others. We can't lie anymore. We can't cheat or steal. I mean, those are lower, or even curse, I think. Those are frequencies that lower the vibration and the light that's coming into us. That's what I feel. I mean,
I think everybody here, if they're not this kind of sick, so they want to kind of destroy themselves. Everybody try to make the best of the situation, and the level of education, the level of having time off, and the ability to think your own thought is very varied. And somebody is very much into science.
Uh-huh.
And most people on earth, they are into some religion or another.
Right.
And I think that, like you say, by including and bringing the science forward, the new signs that that rings the bells of truth, people will understand very rapidly. The children coming in now, they are much smarter than the previous generation and, you know, old people like us.
Yeah.
so the change can happen quite quickly when it takes off. And it hasn't really taken off yet.
Well, it's starting to.
That hasn't really come into their full mission yet. And that's about to happen. I think after next month, it will be much clearer.
You're saying there's light workers that are not aware of what they've come here to do?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there is. But the fact is, there's a lot of light workers that know a whole lot, but hasn't really felt that their knowledge has been kind of asked for, other than to be nice. But the light workers, they carry a lot more than just being nice. They carry knowledge, they carry know-how and expertise in all areas of life, and that's going to be needed on a much larger scale.
You even said that Obama is a bit of a sort of light worker, didn't you?
Well, you know, I don't like him more than I think he's done some rotten things. Uh-huh. But I know that he has...
that potential, would you say?
I'm asking for help, and I people who comes to me and in the Terry, and they are good people. That's all I know about that. And I think that his role is kind of a difficult one. And you must have people who, when you are dealing close to the night side or the dark side, you have to have kind of people who can play both sides and kind of, it takes a special energy to do that. And I do believe he is ultimately a light worker, yes.
Uh-huh. So if he was to wake up to who he was, but, you know, I think, I don't think the planet's ready for it yet. I don't think, I don't know. It doesn't seem like, even if people like Obama, I mean, we have to have a collective awakening. I guess it has to happen one person at a time then, like that, right?
No, there are collective awakenings happening all the time. For example, the Syrian situation now.
In Syria, yeah.
Yeah, in Syria.
Yeah.
The way, even the if they don't belong to this black cabal, people are coming up, using their heads, coming with smart solutions all the time. Even the politicians, which I don't hold very high, I must say. But people who... In America, for example, which has been a block for the rest of us, I must say, because there's so many light workers, but the conditions in America has been quite it's been so individualized and so bought into the commercialism and a lack of historic context that it's been very difficult. They are now coming together in a big way. Not to be more light than the others, but to use their own light to gather around people around them and seeing the little one. And that's the picture I love to see all the time, every time.
Well, yeah.
Howard before suddenly come out and discover themselves. And, oh, yes, here I am, and I'm part of this, and I just love that. And that's happening.
No, I think it's very exciting time, and it seems like there's more energy available to many people, and there's sort of an awakening of the awareness of multidimensionality. That means our thoughts can reach others easier. You know, we can read each other's minds. We can feel each other's energy fields. So I think these are all very positive signs of what we're moving into as a collective humanity. So... at this meeting with Patricia Cota Roybals in Tucson, which sort of set the groundwork, which you said opened up the world to accepting this level, what else was happened as a result of that?
Well, at this conference, it was a beautiful place in Tucson, and there were over 300 people there, and there were good musicians and people who otherwise would have attracted by their own self gatherings. But the purpose of this was to sit in meditation and do the invocations. And everybody there, they were prepared for this. Every one of these invocation is at other times, previous lifetimes, would have taken a whole life just to do one of them. But to open up for the individual anchoring of the light. But now we were sitting together for 5 days, and there was one invocation after the other to anchor in, especially now the important one is the violet flame of resurrection and cleansing. And it has been upgraded. So the benefit is thousandfold, where it was maybe a hundredfold before. So when a group does this, it has enormous effect for the collective. And the people there, they were what I call the first waivers of light workers. They were pretty, I'd say the average age was around 65, maybe 60. Uh-huh. And thinking, oh, It could be a boring bunch, but they're fantastic. And the warmth and the compassion and the understanding, the brilliance of the whole event was a thing for life, at least for me.
No, it sounds beautiful. And who is Patricia Cota Roybals? I mean, in a sense, she's been connected, but I've heard of her. I mean, I've read some of her stuff, but can you describe her?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I started using, I found her on the internet, and I didn't know anything about her. And I could smell when I did her meditation that this was very high quality. And she has several. She has a website called Era of Peace. And there you could go and listen and download for free some of her meditation, which is about the crystalline solar light body.
Right.
This is something I recommend people meditate on every day, because that's part of the new energy and the new frequency that we are actually going from a carbon-based structure to a more silicate-based structure, which is more transparent in every way. And that makes our mind have more control over the body. It's more have a larger capability to heal and to change and to benefit from wondrous things like teleportation and
wait, say that again. I miss, how does she do that, you're saying?
No, she doesn't do it. She's a communicator for the hierarchy, for the company of heaven, as she calls them.
So then tell me about this process of teleportation and all that. How do we do it?
It's something when you have a light body.
Uh-huh.
Natural. That's something you can do when you have the light body, and that is happening. It's going to happen because of everything is going, the molecular structure, the atomic structure of everything is changing, is lifting up.
Uh-huh. Yes, yes.
And also, what the Company of Heaven has said, that even the dark ones here, the one who has been causing all the negative experiences we have had, they are also going to be saved. Nobody is going to be left out. Everybody is going to ascend.
Everybody's going to ascend because everyone's going to be in transformation, huh?
There's a group, the so-called top elite that's been in the leadership of the negative thing. They will have to go back and do certain things again to learn for themselves, and they have to be cleansed, which will take a long time.
Like a long time in Earth?
Go back and live life, say, from Stone Age level, but they will not go through a second death, which means that they will be turned into nothing or go through oblivion.
Yeah, talk about the second death, because, I mean, that is quite a scary concept in a way, to know that, you know, people know that maybe their bodies won't last forever, but to say that their soul would be wiped out with no trace of any consciousness or memory,
yeah,
that's pretty scary.
Yes, but that will not happen.
That's not going to happen to anyone.
And also, the thing is that the consequence of what we are doing is great for not only this universe but for other universes.
What the consequence of what we are doing is? Oh, as far as uplifting the energies here.
So many are following.
But I thought we were sort of the densest beings out there. You're saying there's
I don't know. Maybe, I don't know that. But that's what we learned at this convention.
Well, I guess because we're all connected, we think we're living in an isolated planet, like we're living in an isolated consciousness. But, you know, this planet and its vibration is connected to a whole network of other planets and life forms and consciousnesses You know, that's been the problem all along, thinking that we're separate.
Yeah. To wait, we can talk about that, but sorry, can you excuse me for 2 minutes? I have to do something.
Yeah, go ahead. I am talking to Anna Anna Hess here, actually in Oslo, Norway, and she is she's been informing us about her views of the ideas of transformation and her own particular process, which I think I'll ask her about. You know, actually, you know, I think, you know, we can talk generally a lot about a lot of these things, but we have to deal with the personal, and we have to talk about our own individual process. Anna, are you there?
Yes, I'm sorry. I had something on the stove.
No, I turned it down. It was starting to burn. So I turned it down and added some water to it. But anyway, I was saying personal process, I think, is always more interesting for people to hear about. So, like, in your life, if you don't mind sharing, what signs of this awakening seem to be happening for you? I mean, how do you know? What's going on for you personally, if you don't mind talking a little bit about it?
Well, I've been kind of psychic and a medium all my life. So I have had awakenings, you know, up through the years, which have been difficult, hard, tough, and brilliant, and blissful, and everything you can think of. So I'm used to big changes in a short while or intense periods. Right now, what happened during the time of the Grand Sextile was several big ahas.
For you, big aha in your meditation.
Well, as an emotional and mental level that I understood things and experienced things in a new way. And part of what has, you know, as a duality experience, mm-hmm. we have understood the yin and the yang on a certain level, but it is much more deep and profound that we actually realize now. I realized that, so inside of every one of us, we are an energy signature which is unique. Nobody else has, in a sense. And that contains of one masculine aspect and one feminine. And all of us are different in the quantity of the masculine and the feminine. And the in there again, there's a lot of, it's a large variety of different aspects of the feminine and different aspects of the masculine. And these two, they come, this package that you are, the multidimensional package that you are, has a certain frequency that on a different level can be described in a certain color, a certain tone, and in different ways. But once, when we started this journey on duality, the fact was that we were sexless in the sense that we were self-loving, but because we wanted to know ourselves more intimately, more deeper, more than we could.
Yeah.
What we did was we split the soul in two. It was separated. So you as your special configuration, your special signature, split it in two. So somewhere in the multiverse, there's another exactly replica of you with the opposite sex.
In the opposite spin, too. I think that's how electrons are connected. You know, one spins one way, one spins the other, but they're really the same thing. So, yeah, so our soul is split because we're in the plane of duality.
Yes.
So in order to experience duality, we need to have split ourselves.
Yes, the thing is, Alan, that to be here in this duality has been considered quite dangerous in some way. Because people, when you come up to a certain level of consciousness, you don't want to go around unnecessary because you want to evolve. All souls want to evolve. Mm-hmm. The fact is that thanks to the vessel we have now, this is wonderful. We forget who we are. We forget everything else because this is, you know, we are here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we forget it's a dream.
So that's the dangerous part because we all come here to evolve.
The normal thing, the thing is that when you get up to a certain level, your other half will look after you and you will have it connect through the heart to this other being. And he or she would be on a different frequency or a different level, density, or a different dimension, if you will. Mm-hmm. But what is happening now? And what's anchored onto this planet was the fact that people with the same frequency, the so-called twin race, they are now, in some cases, they are on the planet together. And that's never happened before. And that's so big, it's incredible.
Well, it makes sense because we're ending this time of duality. So,
yes, and these people, they are sent to anchor it in further, to manifest this in the physicality. So for other people to go, because when this new energies configuration happen, when the two comes together, that is a new wave of energy again. Mm-hmm. Which has more incredible love than it's difficult to describe.
Right. I think many people say that, you know, we've gone as deep into duality and as to separation, and we've completed that. At least some people have. And now the new adventure is to have the unification, the transcend the duality, to unite with those soul parts that are really us.
Yeah.
And it's exciting, that adventure. But it's also hard because the parts of us that still remain in duality, that get addicted and attached to duality, need to release themselves into a bigger realm of what's possible.
Yeah, kind of move beyond duality and still be in the physical body, that's a wondrous thing. And that means again that you can actually connect to the elements in a new way, and that's going to happen much more. So we are working, and what people need to, or should I say, benefit very much, is to have ceremonies, to have invocations, to have movements, to anchor to the elements like the water, the wind, mm-hmm. the earth, the flowers, the plants, through the sun, through the central sun, through the planets they feel connected to. All this, it takes time, and but that's how you open up. That's how you can be in the duality but still above it, and then thus bringing in the greater unity. And that creates joy every time.
Right. And I think that's the key, that we're moving, as we move into the elements, we start to experience new emotion, new feeling, new sensations that we've been disconnected from because we've lived in a world of human drama.
And what happens is when you connect to these things, you can communicate with them. And that's when they will tell you more of themselves. They will tell you their secrets. They will tell you how they love, how you could work with them to do good for the whole, to do good for yourself as a representative of the whole. So
I think the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, definitely has knowledge for us. And, of course, that's part of our multidimensional awareness.
Yes, it's the same with the crystal. You worked with the crystals, haven't you?
Yes, I mean, have an energy that is here to assist our evolution if we know how to work with it, you know?
You know, everyone wants to be seen. See, here I come, I'm here too, you know?
What do you mean? The crystals themselves want to be?
Yeah, everything.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, everything's here for evolution, the assistant.
Everyone is here to help us to do this.
Yeah, I mean.
Because we are God beings.
Mm-hmm. And so is everything else, though, wouldn't you say?
No, I would say that soul beings that we are, we have a certain intelligence that has a great responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And that is to because we can create, while many things they can, other beings cannot create the same way as we can. But that comes with a great responsibility. And the responsibility is emotional, that we are grown up enough to actually love and to take care of the things that we are living in.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that maybe other... Well, I actually agree with you that we are much more evolved and developed as a consciousness, and our souls are more... maybe whales and dolphins as well, but and other beings conscious. But we are the aspect of God in its full form.
We are a certain aspect of God. So it's not, we have, our responsibility is of a certain kind. Other consciousnesses, other intelligences, like the animal intelligence, they have other responsibility and they have other understanding, which is not more or less. It's just different. Others is of ours is of the nature that we can create in a certain way, which create a certain responsibility. And that is, imagine when, if we are going to be accepted into the interplanetary community, they don't want to, anything to do with people who doesn't have kind of compassion for the simplest things or are capable. They rather wait till we learn that. It's because it creates difficulties for them. That doesn't help us if they got in contact with us sooner. On the other hand, when we get to the level, when we kind of are loving enough, then we will travel through the universe and through time space, or outside time space rather. So
I mean, being loving and open and treating the earth as a,
and using the head for God's sake in the way that doesn't, it's not smarty pants in a sense, but to use your abilities to the best for all.
Well, yeah, and to help everyone. What did you say? Service to self or service to others is part of it.
Yes.
I mean, most of the planet has been operating in service to self, and
I don't agree with that. I think the dominating culture has promoted a service to self attitude and tried to keep us down that way.
Well, that's what all the wars have been about, service to self. Nobody wants war.
No, we don't.
Oh.
But if you are a kind of fed information that you have to be proud of this and that, and if you are, you're nobody, and you kind of are being fed this separation ideas all the time, then you kind of, okay, then you try to live by that. But when you come back to your family, you know, you don't doubt with your right mind that you neglect your family, or you know, you saw the branch you're sitting on. You're not that stupid, you know.
No. But I'm saying a lot of the planet has been the oil companies, Monsanto's. These are people and organizations that don't seem to care about the rest of humanity. And this has been the real duality on our planet: the split between service to self and service to others. And
you could say that in a way, yeah.
So how do we...
It's deeper. It is deeper.
It is deeper.
It's longer. It's been going on for thousands of years.
But how do we get these corporations to realize, you know, hey, they're multidimensional, don't worry about profit, you know? That's been the really, I think, the big problem. How do we shift?
Well, think about it. It's much more clear than it was. I remember when we started with Monsanto, that was 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now everybody knows it. Everybody sees this. But back then, it wasn't easy to see because the lies we were fed, I mean, there was something to it. You know, it sounded reasonable. You could hope for the best. So it's not the black and white picture. Well, maybe it's more black and white now than it was, but it's one thing hinges on the other. So,
well, we're doing our part. I mean, I think I am. I think you are. I think you're, you know, trying to spread the energy and the awareness even to people, you know, that aren't available to that. And like today, we met that beautiful guy on the boat who was, he seemed very open and had his own experiences.
Yeah, but now we're, after this this last month, everyone I speak to, they are of the light and they are nice to talk to and they are wonderful beings. Even though, you know, I was a bill I haven't paid and I was way too late and I found I would have been mad at the bank before.
You
know?
You would have been.
Now everything sorted itself out. Everything is easy in the sense that people are, they want to help. I don't know. I've managed to attract that to myself now, I think.
People want to help. And I think that,
I think
that is true. I think it's a sign that there's a shift of awareness. That, you know, I think the internet has been part of that. Somehow we're a much closer planet.
Oh, I love the internet. It's
part of who we have, understand who we are. We're part of a planetary culture. Now there's no more separation, it seems, between people. Of course, there's cultural differences, and I think we should honor the cultural differences. But as a planetary civilization, this is what I think the ETs have been waiting for this shift to happen in order for us to meet a greater community.
Yeah, I agree. They have been waiting. But also, we must say that they have been closer to us than we actually have realized and have helped much more. Now it's easier to be more susceptible and to more intuitive to understand, okay, that was a help there. Somebody put that into me there and, you know, realized that actually the ideas in your head is not yours. So all the thoughts we have, they we pick them and choose them from a pool of thoughts, which is, you know. So the more you care about the all, the bigger all, the larger the pool will get. Mm. And the easier, the more access you have to different things. And I could feel that very much now.
Right.
Can you?
Well, it seems like a lot of... I feel that, but it's not... It seems so very much... What I think is that we are accessing feelings that we don't have words for yet, and this is part of the evolution of culture. So we are... We're stretching what we are. I mean, I agree with what you said, but we're also stretching what we are to feel and to be human and to have compassion and love. That is... It's changing. It seems like... we're expanding. The humanity is flowering into a greater possibility.
I don't know what you think about this, but I think one thing, it's for us, because we are at the age of the kind of people we are. Mm-hmm. We don't feel it so much as the majority of the people. It's for men and women to be friends.
Uh-huh.
Be really good friends, hang out together and do something on an equal footing, and still don't talk about it's not about equal rights or things like that, but to come from a place within the mind or the heart to see, okay, that's different and this one is different, but have a good time together,
right? And not let the sexual tension, which has been a part of you know, our collective consciousness between men and women.
But that's a good thing. The attraction between will always be there.
No, the sexual attraction will be, but, you know, men and women can also be friends as well and not have to worry about or think about that. I mean, when you're sexually attracted to somebody, that's fine. And just because they're a woman or a man or you know, it doesn't mean that you have to be attracted to them. And I think that's a process that people are learning collectively, because look at the cases in India, the huge protests about the rape case. And I think that is women coming out saying they want to be treated not for their bodies, but who they are as conscious beings, you know? They don't want to be seen as different. They want to be acknowledged.
So
beyond their body and sex, I'm saying.
So the episode, the horror of these examples you just mentioned, they mirror a society which is very separate. And if we can see how wonderful it will be when places like that, whether it's in Iran, in Yemen, there was, I just saw on the internet yesterday, there was a bride who was 12 years old, who had, on the bridal night, she died from the eternal wounds for having sex with her 40-year-old husband, and that's how it's done.
Right, and that culture doesn't think there's anything wrong with it.
But it is very wrong. It is very wrong, and there's no question about that. So that's a rotten culture.
Well, we can't judge them as rotten. I think they are ignorant.
Yeah.
And I think that's the whole reevaluation of this relationship between men and women you're talking about. I think that's what we have to reach into cultures that have treated women less than.
No, we don't have to. They are doing it themselves. They are doing it. But we can support them, we can say, but the way they do it is not for Americans to come in and make democracy and teach them how equality is, or Norway for that matter.
Well,
but this is happening thanks to the new energies. People are waking up to it. It's the same. I was in Egypt when there was one big demonstration. It was it last year, I think, big on the Tahrir Square. Mm-hmm. And there were so many girls there coming out without their scarves, coming out in trousers and doing things. And they were young. There was a couple of older women too. But people were kind of joining, holding hands and taking part and demanded to have be heard, because some were old enough to say, I've been living here for so and so long, and I know this. And so it's happening. It's happening. It's not happening the same way in every culture. It's happening totally differently. And the ugly experiences that we are having, they are the forums. They are the gate openers to the masses.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. But it's sorry that somebody, some people have to suffer to be the gateway.
Yeah, you know? It's in fact the way to see this. It's their gift to humanity, which doesn't come easy. It is very costly.
Of course, and I think we should. I
agree.
Say you don't think we should try to convert the world, but I think the world does need to be made aware in whatever way possible.
That's the part of the oneness, you see, because everybody has the ability and everybody wants to contribute, and they can only do it through their own lives. Mm-hmm. That's what the life is for, that we do live it. So, you know, and that is the contribution to the totality, to the whole. And that is our collective gift to the universe. Our experience in duality, that's a big thing. It will turn out to be a big thing.
Yeah.
So.
No, I agree. Our experience in duality and the lessons and facing our demons and facing the parts of us that may feel uncomfortable, that's really how we reach God, is by looking at that. Because it's not just by meditating and calling in the light. It's by having the human experience with all that it comes with, and moving through that, you know, and that's what gets us really evolved. But it's up to each person has to make that choice. I mean, it's each one has to go through their own dark night of the soul in a way,
yeah,
and come out the other side or face they're demons or whatever it is.
Say many people now, I mean, more than half of us have problems with the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And there were problems with health, whether it's we're too thick, too thin, you know, cancer, whatever we have. And the new things with the new energies, that healings will happen in ways unknown to us at this point.
Yeah. And we're already looking at that. I agree. Healings, like homeopathy, I mean, it's not new, but I think the recognition of it's a vibrational medicine is very important. The whole understanding of vibrational medicine is key, another key to our conscious evolution as a civilization. I mean, Tesla was aware of this. Einstein was aware of this. So I think there's a lot of exciting things.
Well, my point here was that the fact that we don't know yet what people actually have of gifts to us. People we don't know today, people we haven't heard about, people who carry knowledge about things. And so the new energies that coming in now, the truth energies, they will trigger this off. So now is the time it will become, will be manifest. Uh-huh. So there's surprises, you know, lined up.
I hope so. I mean, I know there is, because every generation has had surprises. I mean,
and it's not one or two in 100. There's, you know, there's so many.
Yeah, I mean, things we can't even imagine. No, I know that maybe 50 years ago, no one even thought about an internet. They weren't even thinking that way. So the surprises, to come represent the hope of humanity. And if we can stay open to the unknown, I think that's a big part of our evolution. If we think we know it all, we're already lost.
Mm.
And that's been true all the time, you know. When who was it, invented the steam engine, talked to Napoleon, I think Robert Fulton said, look, you can build a fire in your boat and be traveled against the currents by your own engines. That he said, this is crazy. You expect me to light a fire under my deck?
Talk about Napoleon. I just saw on the internet they've found a chip in the head of Napoleon.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. But apparently, that tells me there's going to be big, big surprises how actually the reality works. What is the reality? And we have brilliant scientists trying to map it down now. And I'm thinking primarily about Nassim Haramein. He's one I have a great hope in. But also Dan Winter and many others I know.
Dan Winter, this guy William Brown, who I'm hoping to have on my show in the next few weeks, is another...
But also the fact that there are things that concerning time and space that will surprise.
Oh, absolutely. I interviewed on this program David Anderson, who has a time warp generator. There's so many. I mean, the idea of being open to the unknown is a big part of the human experience. It's not just to complete our karma and do all those ridiculous things. We're here to evolve into new ways, new forms. That's what this time is all about.
Yeah.
This gets us up to to open up to the cosmic energies, everything you described, Patricia Carter-Royal's doing part of that Congress. But that just gets us to square one. That just gets us to even ground. From there, we can truly build a new civilization, and that's what's so exciting at this point in our history.
What I love about Patricia Cotta-Robles is the fact that she's so focused on what she does, and you can't do anything to her to kind of cater to her ego in any way. Still, she's a mother and grandmother, and she loves her husband. You know, they. And I think she's close. She's past 60s, well into her 60s, maybe even more. But she looks so well in the moment and have warmth and jokes about everything, you know. He's a kind of a role model for many of us. I sure hope
I mean, the thing,
like her.
No, I get that. And people, there's so much, though, I just keep going back to the idea, there's so much people living in the mainstream world who just think very linearly. They haven't expanded their minds to become aware that there's this multidimensional, these what I would call a subtler frequency of feeling. See, this is what I think is the key for light workers, whatever you want to call them, is to start to share and be a part of this other level of feeling that we've been numbed out to. And I think this is a big part of our evolution as a planet.
I think that when we open up, everyone that we think, oh, that's a quiet little person, they haven't had much excitement in their life and so on. When you get to know people, whoever they are, they show new sides of themselves. And that's thanks to themselves and the new energies. So they are opening up to, and you learn, there's so many interesting views and so knowledge about things you really haven't concerned yourself with or didn't even notice. So it goes to everyone. And that's, you know, the thing with Patricia. She always reminds us that this ascension, it is everybody. It's not, so to stop and who's worthy and who's not worthy and who should I spend time, but just to be and to enjoy everybody and where you are right now.
Yeah, I think actually this is the first time you mentioned the word ascension. I think this is really, in a sense, what we've been talking about, the ascension frequencies and the shifting of our physical bodies into less dense material. This is what's been called the ascension and also the ascending of our minds to include a greater reality of what's possible. So we're ascending in many ways to create a new culture.
For me, it's, the word ascension means moving upwards.
And how? What does that look like? I know if that's what it means. What is that? How does that look to you?
Well, it looks like many things because it's getting deeper into yourself and connecting to the larger you ever more. And it's an eternal thing. It lasts forever and ever in because you will always know larger parts and that'll be exciting, and so it's a never-ending process.
But tell me a specific aspect of that. You know, I mean, you're opening up, but how does that look like in your life? I mean, how do you identify that for you?
Well, for me, it has been a closer a connection with the hierarchy to the. Ascended masters. I've been working with the ascended master for a long time, but now it's like it's a larger part of the company of heaven, and it's also realizing who I am on a 5D 5D level.
Right. I think, you know, that's an interesting point because many people are working with inner masters and a big thing to overcome is the definitions of psychology and psychiatry that say we can't listen to those inner voices. And that's really, I think, one of the big blocks. I think psychology has been a great benefit for many people, but now it stands in the way of us going deeper into ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to reform psychology, I think.
Yeah, it's ready for the dustbin, in my view.
Yeah, it served us in one way, but it's limited us in this way. So
if you look historically at the science or the art of psychology, it has been from researching. It has been kind of used as a power over others. Up to time more and more because you have used words that you call a diagnosis and then you say, oh, you label people so you that and this, therefore we have to limit you there and there, and that's not
well. It also makes people afraid of themselves. I think that's the biggest downside. Of course, it's helped a lot of people. I have to give it some credit for helping people understand themselves, But in that understanding, they placed a limit on what is possible to know and what the mind is. So I don't think we have to throw it out, but I think it has to be reformed, like all the religions, all the sciences, everything has to be upgraded. So, but listening to ourselves and our own inner voice, I don't think there's anything better to do that than that in this time of transformation.
No, I agree.
And so it's just about trusting ourselves, trusting who we know ourselves to be.
Yeah.
And how are we getting out of the mind? There's those two parts. There's the monkey mind and there's the heart. How do you recommend people get out of their monkey mind?
Well, I don't disapprove of a monkey mind as such. I think monkey mind can be very funny, but if you mean in a negative sense that you kind of move only by the lower chakras.
Yes.
In to move only for yourself. I think that the conditions for moving out are there. So I think it is much easier now than just last year. And to do it, it's either by praying is good, and meditation is essential, and practicing not having to smile and to be of a certain conform nature at all times, you know. And the way people do this is it's many ways. You have to get out of what other, you have to decide at some point that I'm here and I want people to see more of me.
Yeah, we can't be afraid.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I agree. So it's a very exciting times. What do you see, you know, as a visionary, as we move through this time into the future? Do you have any...
Well, the plan, the higher plan for this planet is that it's going not to be a kind of a cyborg. We have at this point of time is because now the collective has the opportunity to go, have had an opportunity to go in the wrong direction. If we wanted to go deeper into duality, we would actually lose many souls. And it could have happened differently. Thank God we chose to go towards the light collectively. And that happened before the 2012. So the 2012 shift was essential. That was the end of that era. And we didn't disappear and we are still here. And it opened up for the new ones. So we are going towards the light and there's nothing that can stop us. Nothing. And because we are there already in a sense.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think over the next...
The larger plan in timeline is that this is going to be a more agrarian, peaceful planet where you learn and you connect to the elements. And at the same time, our connection to the interplanetary collective will happen, but it will not happen through machinery that we make as such. That's not required. It's not necessary. But it will happen through the hard work and the opening up to each other that we are doing.
And the expansion of consciousness and
that's the thing of consciousness, yes.
As we expand consciousness, we start to become aware of other realities, which is really...
Well, you could say it differently. You could say that consciousness is expanding us.
Right.
Because we are doing thanks to the help that's coming in.
Right, and I was going to say that's the reason I call this program New Realities, because this expansion of consciousness is bringing us into new understandings about the nature of reality.
Yes.
And these have yet to be cognized or even recognized within the collective, but we have to keep breaking down the barriers to the unknown and we expand.
Yeah, I can also tell you that there are plans for great new teaching centers, a new way, where people will come and work in groups, in collective with trauma.
Talk about this. Trauma. Yeah, tell me about this.
Well, there are going to be centers in all parts of the world and with ways with the experts, and that's where the light worker will come in for full, and to work with the teachings, with the healings, not on the basis of to glorify somebody who started this or something, because this is what the Company of Heaven is bringing in, that we will have these centers to organize ourselves and understand the old culture, the duality of culture, to build on what's the local, the little person's culture of unity, of honoring life in music and different forms of art. Well, this will be understood in a new way and brought up to new heights. Also, that the love frequency will change dramatically in large groups, because there will be ways to work through traumas.
Right, right. And I think that, and what ways would those be? I mean, I think the arts are one way, expression.
Absolutely. And also the fact that we really understand the nature of the feminine and the masculine on all levels. Mm. Because the truth is that the feminine and the masculine works are essential part of reality, whether we are two sexes or one sex. The masculine and the feminine goes through everything. Mm-hmm. That creates movement itself. Mm. So it's the radiation and the magnetism. That's the basis for this physical life on different dimensions.
And then people being less of that polarity and realizing that, you know, we have the capability of being integrated, whole beings.
Yeah, well, you could say that polarity, that is the perfection. It's a perfection of God's will. So when you move to, everything moves to what I would call a relative maximum. Uh-huh. So what God's will is that everything can express itself to perfection. And that's the plan. But to express yourself to the utmost perfection does not mean that the outer form is what you have to occupy yourself with. It's the essence that you have to understand. And the essence, it's always to find with the feminine. So when they talk about balancing the feminine, that is for us to understand the essence of every process, thing, person, happening at all levels of understanding.
Right. No, I agree. But I think it gets more complex. It's we have to understand that. You see, in the old age, the linear realities, it had to be one thing or the other. This time we're moving into a multidimensionality, exactly what it says, is that we can see the separation, the duality, and we can also know we're not separate, we're whole, we're masculine, feminine, yet we can also be one or the other, masculine, male, or female, and we can be masculine and feminine as one. So that's really... It gets a little complex, this understanding of multidimensionalities, because we're not talking on one linear reality anymore, but we're seeing many things are possible at the same time.
Yes. So we will learn the science in a new way.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's not linear. It's not black and white. It's many things. It's not polarities. The world we're moving into is beyond polarity.
And this is possible when you don't say that we must, for all costs, avoid this, because you base your knowledge on fear. You base your fundament for understanding things is very limited. So if the fundament is very limited, the consequences of this thinking would be the same. You know, it right. would be very limited. Right. But when you see the true nature of things...
Right, when you see the true nature of things.
Yes, that things are alive, things are living, and that life is it's forever. It didn't actually start anywhere. We don't know where it started, how it started. We don't know how it ends, because it's like the masters say, that life starts and ends in mystery, and you know that it's an evolution upwards always.
Yeah, that's exciting, and it's great. I mean, if we can come to a science that finally admits it doesn't have it all figured out, so. You know, I think that's what we're going to. I think we've raised a lot of good points here. Tell me some of the projects you're working on, how people can get in touch with you, and you know what you're up to.
Well, I'm working very much. I'm being downloaded with new stuff all the time, and I'm preparing to work with the Centers for Peaceful Coexistence, which is going to come. And I'm doing like you, Alan. I'm talking to people, and I put it out there. And I have this house I have to be finished with, and then I'm traveling.
It's a beautiful house.
I do all sorts of stuff.
No, you have a great place.
The most important thing is the to be of service in this process. That's why I came, and that's why I'm here, and that's what I'm doing.
Right.
Probably the people listening to this.
What's your YouTube? I know you have some great interviews that have also been very inspiring for me.
Yeah.
What's your YouTube channel?
I have one. It's called Tusenbein. But if you just put out Anna Hess, there's a lot of stuff.
Anna Hess.
About energies and stuff.
Into YouTube. Yeah, no, I love that interview with the Chinese master, the Qigong master, and so many good. Anna, thank you. Any closing words, any words of wisdom you'd like to leave?
It's always nice to talk with you, Alan. You know, you're a very nice guy, and
thank you.
I think that we are just before another level will happen. I must say, I'm positive.
Oh yeah, I totally agree, and I think. We've been through one phase, you know, the 20th century with all its wars was one phase. We're being tested now. And I think this unity of consciousness is coming, you know.
Yeah.
Something's coming, and it's big, and it is unknown.
And the other thing I want to say is that please, people, send light to Syria and to the Middle East.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Send light. And if you want to stop the war, you know, visualize a cloud over Syria. That's what I heard. I thought that was good.
A cloud of light? A cloud
no,
of...
well, so nobody can see. But, you know, if you send the blue light just to build a castle of blue light, a sphere of blue light of the whole thing for protection.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, and do you have a website?
No, I don't. Well, I'm building on, but I...
All right. Well, if people want to reach you, they can find me. Thanks again. Thanks for all your...
We'll need to find us out.
Thank you for your hospitality in Norway as well. And
you're welcome. I love you. Bye.
Okay, bye. Bye, Anna. Anna Hess, who you will meet somewhere traveling around the world. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you want to reach me, go to newrealities@earthlink.net, and you can go to my website as well, newrealities.com. And Joe Dispenza will be in New York on September 12th. Go to my website. You can check that out. And I look forward to hearing from everyone. newrealities@earthlink.net. Good night.